Sometimes I feel after the worship team has led us right to the throne and turned our attention to God, I feel like we ought not to say anything. I really do. I feel like sometimes we just ought to bow our heads in humble thanks and in fear and gratefulness to God. That anything that I would say would be just mundane. We're talking about God. I have in my heart the desire to talk about God and preach about God, maybe the next week or so. But I thank you because that's what a worship team does, as they lead you to God. Majesty. And those great words like Pastor John prayed about. He is exalted above everything that's created. He's transcendent. Which, when we say that, we don't mean a location. We don't mean he's far above as far as distance. We're saying he's different in kind. He's God. He's spirit. He's holy. We're created beings, and we're not holy. That's distance that we feel is the difference in our nature. He's holy. Transcendent, of a different kind. He's not like us. And nothing in our imagination can cause us to understand who he is. He's incomprehensible because it's a different kind. We could not know him if he did not reveal himself. And praise God, he has. Hallelujah, in many ways. We see him in creation. We see him in the stars. We see him in his work, handiwork in nature. We see him in the Holy Spirit working in our, in the Word of God, in the Jesus Christ coming into this world, God himself. We see him because he's revealed. He's spoken to us. He's let us know that because he's a God of love, he wants us, unbelievable, he wants us to fellowship with him. Wow. I just say, wow. Lord Jesus, you said we could call him our Heavenly Father. And so we come to him and to you today, not impudently, not arrogantly, but humbly, because who are we? We have no way to approach a holy God. But hallelujah, you've made a way. It's on the basis of the atonement. It's the blood of the cross. It's the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, very God himself, who took our place. Made a way for us to be redeemed from this slave market of sin and brought to your holy presence and made holy in him. And so it's only in him we come to you today. How grateful. Help us to be caught up with the awesomeness of who you are. And as we, what do we sing? God who is in control. All of our concerns and problems pale in comparison to the sovereign God whose majesty and at work in our lives. And yet we are people of this life and we need direction and we need to know that you are in control and we need to walk in confidence in you as we go through the things of life, and that our lives might bring glory to your name. So speak to us through your word as we look at this passage, this revelation you've given that helps us to understand what you are doing in this world through the Lord Jesus Christ. Draw our hearts to you today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right, what will the future be for TRBC? Like an alphabet soup there. What will the future be? So I want you to turn to John chapter 2, and this is sort of a sequel or a tag along, a continuation of last Sunday, where we ask God, what do you do when you've been through a trial and it doesn't seem like you have very much left? And we found out from 2 Kings chapter 4 that God does wonderful things with leftovers. Wonderful things with leftovers. So the question I want to ask you today, would you be a part of a miracle? God does wonderful things with what's left, but it takes a miracle of God. The question is, would you be a part of a miracle? So we're turning to John chapter 2, and talking about miracles, I want to tell you about a pastor whose wife had a kitten. I mean, not literally. She owned a kitten. And so that kitten crawled up into a kind of a sapling tree. It wasn't very strong. And it got up in the top and it wouldn't come down. And his wife was gone. And so he cooed and he coaxed it and he got some milk and it wouldn't come down. He said, what am I going to do? And so he said, I know what I'll do. I got a little hunk of rope in the garage. I'll throw it up there on top of the tree and cinch it to my car trailer hitch. And I'll pull it so that the tree comes down. That's quite smart, right? And so he got it down, and he stepped out and looked at it. He said, well, if I go a little farther, it'll be down where I can reach it. And so he started to go real gently, and bang, that rope broke, and up comes the tree, and there goes the cat way over the trees. He's standing there, wow, where did that cat go? What's my wife going to say? And so he gets start going around the neighborhood. Have you seen a cat? Have you seen a flying cat? Nobody saw a flying cat. Now what am I going to do? He says, well, Lord, I just have to commit that cat to you. I don't know if there's cat heaven. I don't think so. But maybe dogs go to heaven, but not cats. So, and she goes home, you know. He goes home. And, well, he goes to the store, gets some groceries for his wife and a list, you know. Don't send your husbands for grocery list. Man alive. You know how many brands there are of Gatorade or something like that? Anyway, so he's walking through the aisle and he meets a lady from the church. She's got a grocery cart and they're talking and he notices she got some kitten's food and kitty litter in that basket and she knows she's a cat hater. She says, what are you doing with that cat food? She says, oh, Pastor, you won't believe it. My daughter, about 10 years old, had been begging and begging for a cat. And I've been saying, no, we're not having a cat. And she kept begging. I thought, I'll tell you this. I'll tell you what, if God gives you a cat, then we'll keep it. Pastor, that my daughter walked out in the backyard, got on her knees and started praying, and a cat came right over top and right down to her. God sent her a cat. Oh. So here the pastor was unwittingly a part of a miracle. But actually it wasn't a miracle, you know. A lot of people think things are a miracle that aren't a miracle. But in John chapter 2, verse 11, so this is the first miracle that Jesus did. So forget all that stuff you've heard, kind of folklore stuff from back when the Lord was a child. You know, he made a clay pigeon, he breathed in it and flew away. That's all hocus pocus. That's nothing. Here's the first miracle that Jesus did, and I think that he has a story here or a lesson here for us today, so I want to jump into that. I think you remember the story. You've read it. You've probably taught it in Sunday school. You've surely heard sermons on it, how the Lord performed a marvelous miracle by turning this worthless water into sparkling wine, and it was something that caught their attention. Now, it was at a wedding, and everybody loves wedding. Well, most everybody. Husbands don't like weddings when you have them on Saturdays. Have them Friday night or Sunday night, not on Saturday when we got chores to do. I've officiated a lot of weddings. Most everyone, well, I think I've seen a lot of beautiful brides. They're all beautiful. Some just make it, but I remember one wedding I was having, the bride groom was nervously pacing in the room, you know, and he was looking around and wringing his hands, and the pastor said, "What's the matter? Have you lost your ring?" He says, "No, I lost my enthusiasm." So here we have a wedding, and the wedding announcements here on the third day, this is chapter 2 of John, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there. And Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" replied Jesus. "My time has not yet come." There's a lot in that saying we're not going to take time to delve into, except to say that the Lord Jesus Christ knew at the moment he started giving the signs of the Messiah, the enemy was going to start coming and plaguing them. He says, not yet time. There was a time, he said, but my time. And his mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." I underlined that in my Bible. I circled that in my Bible. And so nearby stood 6 stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." And so they did. The master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. And then he called the bridegroom and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine, after the guests have had a sufficient amount to drink, but you have saved the best till now." You have saved the best till now. And so is the back. Here's the background. There's a wedding. The host and hostess are embarrassed. They run out of refreshments. Now what are they going to do? And Jesus, the Lord, steps in and he performs this marvelous miracle. And there's more here than just providing refreshments. But I want you to key in. He said, the host, the one giving the party said, "You have saved the best to last." And I want to key on that principle. I want you to think about that today, because this is a principle on the Lord Jesus Christ in how, when you walk with the Lord, the best is always yet to come. The best is always ahead of us. Because the Lord Jesus Christ can take that which is left, that's what we studied last week, and perform a marvelous miracle. A marvelous miracle. Because he's the same yesterday, today, forever, Jesus can do that same thing today. He is a God of miracles. He's still God, still has all power. So I was thinking of the history of TRBC. And I've met some of the older members who are still with us and listened to some of their stories. And I have thought about those early people who God used to plant this church and then to nourish this church and stood by and helped to grow this church. And then I thought about you folks in the last few generations that have been here as God continued to mature and grow this church to where your church with mission works all over and people who've gone out from here all over. Did you know that one of your arrows sent out from this church ended up in Kentwood Baptist Church? My grandson, whose dad left them and had no brothers, went to Kentwood Baptist Church, and Jordan Parks buddied up with him and mentored him. Had a great influence. I mean, you don't know where your folks have gone. And I'm here to tell you that it ain't over. So if you have been thinking, well, has TRBC seen their best days? Is this it? Have we peaked out? I'm here to tell you, no, you haven't. Will you be a part of a miracle? That's the question we're asking. Well, when I read through this, when you read through this story, what is there that obviously is overlooked, that's not mentioned? If you're reading this in the Three Rivers Gazette, you know, the community news, and is talking about a wedding, what's missing here? The bride and the groom aren't even named. Well, what in the world are you trying to, what are you trying to say, preacher? These kids were not some big Jerusalem or wherever they were political parties children. They weren't some kids of the apostles. They weren't anybody important. They were just a nameless couple. Jesus provided what was needed for that reception, and the couple weren't even anybody important. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that you are important to him. Just a nameless couple. Don't even get any recognition. But the Lord Jesus Christ was interested in them, and he performed this miracle. I want you to, I'm trying to say that, tell you that Jesus Christ, God, is interested in you, yes, today, and he loves to hear your worship and your praise. But the same Lord Jesus Christ who is Jehovah God today is Jehovah God tomorrow, and he's interested in you Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and whatever's going on. He's interested in birthdays and anniversaries and graduations and matriculation on to the next step and all those things. He's interested in you. What am I saying? I'm saying TRBC is a candidate for a miracle. The question is, would you be a part of a miracle? As we go on through this, we're going to find out what that means. So the manifestation of the miracle, that's the first blank if you're taking your outline. The manifestation of the miracle, I'm trying to get you to understand, this was an ordinary occasion, ordinary people just doing what families do. Nothing outstanding, and Jesus Christ moved into that situation and did a miracle for them. What kind of a miracle? Did he speak prophecy? Did he do something displayed in the heavens? Or did he create something? Or did he raise it? No, he just provided refreshments. That's just like my Lord. He's the sovereign God we've been talking about, the awesome, transcendent, holy God who is entirely different from us, yet he loves us. And he wants to be involved in our lives. And he knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what your need is. And he's still able today to move in to help in your life and in your situation. So as you walk into the future, number one, remember Jesus is always with you. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. He's interested in your weddings and anniversaries and your birthdays and in your deaths, and that comes to every family, sometimes quicker than what we anticipated. But he's with you. Hallelujah. So that's the manifestation of it. The bottom line is, I am a candidate. You are a candidate for the Lord to do something wonderful. TRBC. You see, the worry that you have about TRBC's future is calculating the future without considering God. I mean, is God still here? Amen. Then what are you worried about? God, things are not out of God's control. All we have to do is wait on him, follow him, and keep serving him. Now I want to talk about the miracle of it. It was just kind of a mundane situation. What was the purpose of the miracle? I put it on the screen here. John tells us at the close of the gospel what the purpose of the miracles were. John 20, verse 30 says, "And Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in the book. But these," underscore that, "these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." Here is the purpose of the miracles that Jesus performed as he walked through this earth. It was proof that he was the Messiah. He was the Christos. And it verified that in these miracles. So chapter 21, verse 25 says, "And there are also many other things Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written." Amen. In other words, he's saying, you have in the Word of God some miracles that are recorded. In the book of John, there's only about 8 that are recorded. But he performed hundreds of thousands. If they all had been recorded, we'd have to have a truck to bring them into the church service. He is a miracle-working God. What I want to say is, contrary to popular misunderstanding, miracles in the Bible are not indiscriminately scattered out throughout history. And miracles were never at the whim of the worshiper. Nobody ever demanded God do a miracle. That had to be left until today, where we say, name it and claim it, speak the word, hogwash. Miracles had a purpose all the way through the Bible. The purpose. They're gathered around where there is a new revelation God has given, a new prophecy, and miracles attested to the truth of it. There's something going on here that's beyond just turning water into wine. And Jesus is part of what is going to confirm that he is the Messiah. I call this, number one, this was a miracle of transformation. He lifted ordinary wine or water into really wonderful wine. Now, I could get into a long discussion with you about was this alcoholic or was it not? But I'm not going to go into a long discussion. I was going to say, no, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. It's just fruit of the vine. That's what wine means. How long does it take wine to turn? I don't know. It takes a while. But immediately he turned it, and they served it, and they were satisfied. It was not inebriated. It was not that which would cause you to lose your senses. That would go contrary to all of Scripture, by the way. So you can tell. I am a teetotaler. Anyhow, he did this wonderful, marvelous picture. But what it really is showing to us that this is what our sovereign Lord Jesus Christ would do into the life of every believer. He's in the transformation business. He's in the miracle-working business. He takes that which is worthless and turns it into something wonderful. Hallelujah. It's a testimony of my life. It's a testimony of what Jesus would do in the life of every person here. Back in Isaiah 40, it says, he turned to me and heard me, and he lifted me out of the slimy pit. I know where I've been. He lifted me and set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. That's why I love to sing that old song from Sinking Sand. He lifted me with tender hand. He lifted me from shades of night to plains of light. Oh, praise his name. He lifted me. Now, I don't know what your testimony is, but I know there was a time where I was walking in darkness, living just like the world, because that's what I was. I had no light, and I had no concern or care for the light. And Jesus Christ into my life, he came and he transformed me. That's a miracle. A church is to be filled with miracles. Has there been a miracle in your life? Would you be a part of a miracle? So, you know, let's go back to our text. There's a lot of symbolism here we're not going to have time to get into. In verse 6, there were six. You know, the Bible's numbers have meanings, and six is the number of man. Six, man was created on the sixth day. Enough said? There were six water pots here, and that's the number of man, and the water pots were made of clay. When God made man, he took the grub and the dirt of the world and he breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. And so these six, the number of man, clay or stone water pots, they were made to hold something, but they were empty. Just like I was before the Lord came into my life. I was empty of anything that had relationship to God. And you might be like that. And then they were filled with water. And water in the Bible is a symbol of the Word of God. John 15:3, Jesus said, now you're clean through the Word which I speak to you. Ephesians I think it's 5:26 says we're cleansed to the water of the Word. So the water is a picture of the Word of God. And then they were touched by the finger of omnipotence. Something happened. Something touched that and changed it. And I'm saying that was God. And wine in the Bible is a symbol of joy. The Holy Spirit. And joy. So the first thing I'm saying about that miracle was a miracle of transformation. The second thing I want you to notice and write it down, it was a miracle of regeneration. That's what Jesus is all about. He gives life. Now, TRBC, that is the unchanging message. That was the message that the church proclaimed and emphasized and preached. I met Mrs. Zieringa. Is that her name, Zieringa? Her sister, 92, I think she came to visit. First thing she said, 82 years ago in this Sunday school class, in this church, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. Hallelujah. That is the same message we have today. Do not lose sight on what our purpose is. We are in the miracle working business. All we got to do is take the word that the omnipotent finger of God will touch it in the heart of people and bring them to life. And that's what this picture is. And so I'm saying, it ain't over. Are you willing to be a part of a miracle? Jesus brings life. I preached in this one time and I called it Jesus, the life of the party. And one older lady didn't quite like that. So I stopped calling it that, but that's exactly what he is. He's the one who gives you life. So it's a miracle of transformation and regeneration. And what I'd say to all of you young people is Jesus didn't come to rob you of sweetness and joy and happiness. He came to give you something you don't have. That is spiritual life. The world can make you feel happy and giddy for a little while, but it'll leave you empty. But you receive Jesus Christ to give you a new life, and it'll change your life. He's in the regeneration business, and that's what regeneration means. So I'm running out of time. Okay, he does it by a miracle of transformation, by lifting that which is common into that which is extraordinary. That is the work of God. That's not something you do. That's something God does in you. That's our message. So we are to be a church of miracles. This is what will build our credibility. You think of that first church? You think of those members? Simon Peter, that crude-talking, bumbling, fumbling fisherman, somehow God changed him. He became the preacher at Pentecost, and people were saved. You think God can't use you? When he used that guy, he didn't have any education. He couldn't even speak without swearing. God changed him. Wow. He took the Apostle John, who was a son of thunder, and made him the Apostle of love. You got an irascible nature. You got a kind of a harsh attitude. God can change that, and he can use you. A church is to be filled with miracles, and that's what that first church was. Matthew, the crooked, conniving tax collector, was changed under the right of the first gospel. Wow. And then Mary, that harlot, my, oh my, she couldn't even get into most churches. But God did something and changed her into a servant of the Lord. Only Jesus Christ can do this. He took Saul, who was an enemy of the church, a persecutor of the church, and he changed him. He was Saul and became Paul, a leader in the church. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. Only Jesus can do that. And he's still at work in communities and churches. All we have to do is give the word. Just give the word. Jesus is the one that does it all. So I'm saying there's something here more than simply that Jesus changed water into wine. It's an encouraging message to TRBC. The best is yet to be. And the difference will be, are you willing to be a part of the miracle? Father, I thank you for your word. Oh, Father, if we don't understand, it's not us, it's you. And may we invite you into every part of our life, not just here in church on Sunday where we gather together and rejoice and are brought to worship, but when we go out into the world and invite our neighbors to come to witness these miracles that are going on through the Lord's work in this church. May each of us see that all Jesus asked of the servants is just to be a water boy, just to carry the jug. I wonder if there'll be any water boys here today. You see, it doesn't take much to serve the Lord, just takes availability. Would you today say, Lord, use me. Let me be your water boy. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.